Praise God. Matthew 4:13, if you'll look there with me today. Matthew 4 and 13. Leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." All throughout this month of December, we want to focus on Jesus. We want to focus on him today as Jesus, the light for a dark world. The song was perfect for that message. Jesus, the light for a dark, dark world. There is a condition that doctors call SAD, SAD. That's the acronym, SAD. It is an acronym for seasonal affective disorder. One out of five are affected by this disorder every winter season. The days get shorter, as you know, that they're getting shorter, and there's less and less sunlight. And so the sun is going down very early in the evening now, and the days are just getting shorter and shorter. The shortest day of this year will be December the 21st. The longest day of this year was June 21st. The amount of difference in the amount of sunlight is almost 6 hours different between June 21st and December 21st. So this is a very real disorder. This less sunlight, because the sunlight releases a chemical called serotonin that balances your moods, and you can take supplements, you can do various things, but most of the time, what the doctors will recommend is light therapy, light therapy. In Alaska, when their days, our daughter Erica lived in Alaska, and there's a certain time of the year in the wintertime when the days are so short that they're only about 4 or 5 hours of sunlight during the day, and the rest is dark. And so it's a common thing for people to own a sun lamp. In Alaska, they call them happy lamps because it affects their mood. And what they've learned is that this serotonin also, it affects you physically in a lot of other ways, not only just your mood, but it creates a problem with sleep. Sleep disorder where you can't, you know, you have insomnia. It creates other problems. It affects your immune system in your body. And what they've determined is that everybody needs a certain amount of sunlight. And most of us don't get enough. I have people say to me from time to time, "You're looking kind of pale." Well, I need more sunlight. I need to get out there in the sun and I think there's a real spiritual correlation here, though, to not just the season, but a spiritual affective disorder that we're affected by in our world today. Not enough sun, S-O-N, light. Not enough influence of Jesus in our life. Not enough effect of the truth of God's word upon our life. Busy, busy. Everybody is so busy, they don't have time to read their Bible. They don't have time for Sunday school. They don't have time to be in church. They're just running here, running there. And you might be affected by this spiritual disorder that can affect you as well. I think it's affecting a lot of people in our world right now, in our nation right now, that need the light of truth. They need the light of the gospel. They don't know what they need, but they just need Jesus as the answer to the problem of the sin. We refer to people that are in spiritual ignorance, like these that Emily's talking about, who don't know about the gospel, haven't heard the gospel, or haven't opened up to the truth of the gospel. We refer to them as people who are living in darkness, spiritual darkness. The Bible refers to that. Ephesians 5 and 8, for you were sometimes darkness. You used to be in darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We're to walk as children who have received the light of truth into our life. And things have been transformed because of the light of the gospel. 1 Peter 2 and 9, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. What a wonderful thing it is to know the Lord and to know the light of truth and to be able to receive the wonderful blessing of walking in the sunlight of Christ's influence upon our life. Satan's host, the armies of the devil, are referred to as rulers of darkness. Everywhere we look, there is spiritual darkness. Everywhere there is. It's in every sphere of life. Everything. It's in government. It's in education. It's in the economy. It's in families. It's in every area, affecting marriages and homes and children and youth. We have a whole generation now that are affected by the darkness of addictions and all of the fallout that goes with all of these terrible things that come as the result of darkness. Isaiah saw this day. He prophesied about this day. He prophesied about a day 700 years before it actually happened. He was a prophet who foretold the events of the Messiah stepping on the scene. Because you know the darkness that this world was in when Jesus came. It was dark. It was so dark. 400 years when Malachi, whenever that prophetic utterance closed, then there was 400 years of no prophecy. No word from the Lord. No voice of the Lord. And it wasn't until Zacharias and Elizabeth and then John, their promised son, stepped on the scene and began to speak the word of the Lord. And light then began to spring up once again. The light of truth. It was nothing but darkness. 400 years. Can you imagine how long 400 years is to a nation, to a people? All the things that were going on that long of a period of time. Just back up 400 years from right now. We're 2017, 19 and 17, 18 and 17, 17, 17, back to 1617. What if that was the end of any word that this nation ever heard from God? Where would we be? There would be no moves of God such as this nation has seen. No great revivals that have affected our nation, that have turned our nation around. There have been several awakenings, at least three, maybe four or more spiritual awakenings in our nation where people went into sin and God turned them around and God gave to our nation a revival, a reformation. We've experienced that in the last 400 years. A 400 year period of time without a word from God is an awful thought. It's an awful thought. But it's believed by most Bible scholars that those in the last years just before Jesus stepped on the scene there as a little babe in Bethlehem, that for some time, maybe decades even before, that there was this increasing longing for light, this desire to know who the Messiah was and to see him step on the scene. There was such a desire, such a longing for the Messiah. Thank God that you and I have been blessed with the light of truth. Thank God that as a young person, I heard the gospel and responded in faith. And many of you, different times down through the years of your life, I don't know how old you were when you got saved. It really doesn't matter. It's just so important that you received the truth, the light of the gospel, and it transformed your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Praise God. That God has provided for every one of us hope in this world and light in the midst of the darkness of this generation. And that we are fast moving away from God. And in my lifetime, the nation has moved so swiftly away from God, away from God's word, away from the principles and the teachings of God's word. We're on a fast track for destruction and judgment in the United States of America. It's a dark, dark time. What we need is light. What we need is light. We need Jesus. Jesus needs to be preached and declared from the pulpits across this country. And people could see that they can be saved and they can understand what it is to step into the light of truth. Amen. John Newton in the hymn Amazing Grace, he says, I once was blind, but now I see. And you know his story and how far away from God that he was, but yet God reached down and pulled him up and delivered him and saved him and made a man of God out of him. He was once blind, but now he's able to see. It was the revelation of the light of truth. Amen. When Isaiah looked forward, he saw Jesus stepping on the scene. He gave the exact prophesying, the exact area, the exact region, the region of Galilee. He called it Galilee of the Gentiles because Galilee was known as a mixed population. It was not just populated. It was primarily Jews, but there was a mixed population that was there. It's believed that at the time that Jesus came, that in Galilee, it was so highly populated in that region of Galilee, it was a farming region, the breadbasket of the Middle East. There were over 200 villages in Galilee that had as many as 15,000 people. There were millions. 2+ million people that lived in Galilee when Jesus came on the scene. It was people who were commoners. They were farmers. It was, like I said, it was a mixed population. It was both Jew and Gentile. Jesus came to Galilee of the Gentiles. And Isaiah saw it 700 years before. He saw that it was going to be a dark place, and it was the darkest place in all of Palestine. But that is where Jesus was born. Amen. Glory be to God. I want you to know that it doesn't matter how dark that it is or how hopeless that it seems, that it's not too hard for the Lord. I hold on to the promise today that there's no sinner that is so bound in sin that they cannot be reached, and that the light can't penetrate and touch their life and their heart and transform them. Amen. I believe it. I believe it with all of my heart. And I stand on the promise of God today that light can dispel darkness. Amen. Light can dispel darkness. Darkness can exist when the light exists. It just is gone. And so whenever light is shining, no matter where and whatever the circumstance might be, light needs to shine. There was political darkness, there was moral darkness, spiritual darkness in all of Galilee. They were under the control of the Romans. They lived under the watchful eye of every Roman soldier. They were morally destitute. And I don't want to go into all the horribleness, but I just want to say this, that much of what was going on in Rome, the degradation and the immorality, was passed down to those in Galilee of the
of the Gentiles. It was destitute of morality. And they were in spiritual darkness. They just needed light. And that's what Jesus came to do. Amen. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You know, light, spiritual light, when it comes, it begins to reveal who you are. When the light gets turned on, when the Holy Ghost begins to move, when the gospel is preached, it reveals the darkness of your own life. You begin to see. You begin to see in the light what you could not see while you were in the darkness. You see yourself as you really are. You see the sin. You see the horribleness of your spiritual condition. As long as you're kind of hiding in the shadows of the darkness, then you don't really think about much about what's going on in your life. I'm just living my life. I'm a pretty good person. But once the light is turned on, and once you move into the light of the gospel, that it begins to reveal the wickedness. It reveals the stains, the awfulness of your life and the way that you're living. And sometimes people recoil from the light. They don't want it because they love their sin. They love their darkness more than light. It's a terrible thing to think about, but people love living in darkness because the light reveals the awfulness of their sinful living. Verse 20 of John 3 says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." The light, when it's turned on, oh, then you realize, oh, it's all exposed what I am. Isn't this an amazing time that we're living in right now? When all of these hidden sins of movie stars and politicians, all of their hidden sins are being exposed and being portrayed. How horrible it is for them, I know, and for their families. They never thought that the disgraceful deeds that they have committed would ever be made public and be flashed on the screens all over the world. They never would have ever imagined it. And I'm sure that there is regret for all that they have done, or at least regret that they have been caught in their sin. But light can do that. That's what light will do. Light will reveal those things in our life and will expose the sin that is in our lives. Back in the early 1900s, the miners would use ponies. They called them pit ponies. They would use them down in the bottom of these coal mines. And they would work them until they died. They were down in the dark and they lived their life in the dark. They worked in those mines. They stayed down there and they would usually go blind. As many as 70,000 of those pit ponies were used for several decades in the coal mining business and other mining businesses. And they would use these little ponies, and they used the smaller ones because they needed to be able to get down in those mines. And that's where they would work and spend their life. And because they didn't get light, eventually they would go blind because they were never exposed to the light. People that are never exposed to the light of the gospel, they're never given an opportunity to know Jesus or to know about the light of Jesus. They're in darkness. They're completely spiritually blind. They don't know where they are, the condition of their soul. But the light of Jesus can shine upon them and cause them to be able to see where they are and who they are, and even the awfulness of their sinful condition. Light reveals who we are. It reveals, and we begin to see ourselves for what we are and who we are. There's a really bad theology being promoted today. A theology that says we're essentially good. You just need to promote the good, and if you'll promote the good in us, then we'll become good. That's not the word of God. We are not essentially good. There's not good in us. That's not the word of God. The word of God describes the condition that we're in without Christ. There is no good thing in us. So you don't need to bring out the inner you, the better you. You need to turn loose of that and realize the only way that there can be anything good or righteous in you is as you turn away from who you have been and you turn to Jesus and your life is turned around. Amen. The light will bring that truth. We don't encourage one another to be a better person or to be the best you can possibly be, because you cannot be as good as you need to be except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no good thing in us. We were born with a natural bent to do wrong. We were born with this Adamic sinful nature, and if it's left to itself, we're gonna be destroyed by our own sinful ways. You can see that in a small child. From the time they're very small, they have their self-will and their own sinful nature. I know we love babies and they seem innocent, but they have sin in their heart. And they have to come to a time in their young life that they understand that and they can repent of that and be changed, transformed by the power of the gospel. There is no good thing in us. We need a transformation. And that transformation comes whenever the gospel of Jesus Christ sheds its light upon us and reveals the sin of our ways. And when we repent of our sins, the word literally means we just turn around. We repent, we turn and change our direction, and we begin walking in the light. Praise God. Walking in the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This world, our world right now, in 2017, needs the light. Desperately. Dark place that we live in right now. They need the light. You ever been in a dark place, like a dark restaurant for a while, and then when you walk out of that place, the light is so bright that you can't hardly see, because we have this ability to adjust to darkness. And I'm afraid that that affects our spirit as well. We get used to the darkness and we think it's light. We think everything is all right until someone, when the light of the truth is preached and declared, when our sinful ways are revealed, then the light is turned on. It's pretty bright. It's hard to take, but it's the truth, and it reveals our wicked ways. And we must turn to the Lord with our whole heart and love the light. Amen. It's easy for your spiritual eyes to get adjusted to the dark and think everything is just fine, but it's not. Amen. We shouldn't get used to adultery. We should not get used to the idea of fornication or hatred or profanity or prejudice or hatred or any of these things. We shouldn't get used to these things. They're wicked. They're evil. They're contrary to God's will and God's word. Don't get used to it. It's the way of this world. Walk in righteousness. Walk according to the truth of God's word. I'm afraid we're not even shocked anymore by the things that we see going on around us, the horribleness of the kind of sin that people are living in. We're not even shocked anymore. I'm afraid we've gotten used to the dark, but we need the light to be turned on, the brightness and the manifest glory of Jesus Christ to be turned on, so that the gospel can penetrate our minds and our hearts and help us to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. How can the world receive this light and see it? It has to be lived out in us. That's how the light. Jesus has chosen you and me. He said, I'm the light of the world, but later on, ye are the light of the world. We are that reflection of Jesus Christ. Once we receive the light and we're transformed by the light, then we reflect the light to the world. Oh, what a mistake it is when you just become like the world. When you become one of them and you act like them, you talk like them, you do what they do, you're just like them, you fit in perfectly with them, and the light and the reflection of the truth of the gospel goes dim when we do that. Instead, live for God and be courageous in your stand for righteousness.
Stand for God. Stand for truth. Stand for His Word. I'm not talking about anything outside the boundaries of God's Word. If you can live up to the Bible, you've done something pretty incredible. Live up to the principles and the truths of God's Word. Live it out every day of your life. Amen. And the light will shine everywhere you go, in dark places around this world. Amen. And when the church becomes the bright light we have been called to be, then your life is demonstrating Jesus Christ. And when the world sees you, they're going to be drawn to you. They're going to be drawn to the touch of God that is upon your life. A lot of sad Christians these days, SAD Christians. We need some light therapy. We need some spiritual light therapy. We need to spend some time in the presence of God. We need to linger in His presence. We need to spend time before Him and waiting upon the Lord and experiencing His touch in our life. So we won't be so sad. So we'll have something to offer to the world that's desperately in need of the message of the light of the gospel. We need some light therapy that comes from God's Word, that comes from the presence of God. Get some spiritual light therapy. Amen. Praise God. That happens sometimes. I've been to meetings where there was like preaching and teaching all day long and night. I walk away from that place thinking, wow. Wow, have I been helped. Wow, this was so good. I just got a good dose of spiritual light. Amen. The teaching of God's Word, the preaching of God's Word, the presence of God, and the anointing of the Spirit of God. Light therapy. God's light shining upon us. And that gives to us the ability to have an impact upon our world. Hallelujah. Jesus, He is the light in this dark world. And we have been called to be that light as well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for this season of the year. I know, Lord, at this time of the year, there's lights hung up everywhere. But after Christmas, they all come down. So it's just a few weeks in the natural that there's all this physical, natural light that's out there. But Lord, we need something that goes beyond December 25th. It goes beyond this month. We need a touch, Lord, in our lives that sheds light into January and February and throughout the coming year, Lord. We need You desperately. We need You to touch our lives, oh God. I pray, Lord, for those that are in this service today and their heart is full of darkness and they recognize that they're in such need. Lord, I know that You are speaking to their hearts and they realize that they're in need. Minister, Lord, to the unsaved, to the backslider, to every believer in this place, Lord, who are finding themselves today, Lord, just in dimness, in darkness, kind of moving back into the shadows, loving the things of this life and of this world. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to step in the light and walk in the light. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.